This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It still feels like Aaron Rodgers will be the Steelers quarterback. When I get asked by friends, relatives, strangers outside of work, I tell them that my feeling is that Rodgers will be here eventually. But he isn't yet. And I guess there is always a chance that he does leave the Steelers hanging high and dry. So what happens if that happens? Donnie Chedrick with you tonight on 93.7 The Fan until 8:45, a little pregame to the pregame, leading you into the North Shore Tavern leadoff show with Dan Zangrilli at 8:45. Dan will join us a little bit before 8:30 to help preview tonight's matchup. Mike Burrow's making his second start in his major league career. Pirates were blanked again last night. Ninth time this season. We will get into that as well. Joel Nelson is behind the glass. We will have Joel's pick before the 8 p.m. hour begins, where Joel controls the topic. And Joel, a little bit ago, did a fantastic job standing in as the judge and moderator for the PM team name game, and it was one for the ages today. We did NBA MVPs, and we did Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Joel, an admirable job done by you during that segment, because it can get intense.
It sure did.
As you saw, and it can get difficult to even keep track from your position, so a good job done there by Joel. He will be chiming in as the night goes on, and as mentioned, he will have control of his own segment later on. Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette will join us in about an hour to help recap the first day of OTAs for the Steelers on the South Side. We may even hear from a Steeler or two following the first day of organized team activities. Aaron Rodgers, obviously not at OTAs, as he has not signed with the team. And even though that still seems to be the expectation around the league that Rodgers will sign with the Steelers, we have not gotten the pen to paper. We have not gotten the official word that he will sign with the team. So that being said, we will start to hear more and more about other options that are out there. That voice you heard at the top, that was Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, senior NFL reporter. And if you didn't hear it, here he is again.
I would say Kirk Cousins. I mean, I had some conversations with people this week to lead me to believe that Cousins is at the very least on the Steelers' radar if something were to fall through on Rodgers. Now, here's how they could make that happen. Cousins has $37.5 million in guarantees between this year and next year. Somebody's on the hook for that, whether it's Atlanta or someone else. So to facilitate a trade, Atlanta would need a team to offset some of that money, whether it's $4 million, $20 million, whatever it is. But the feeling around the league is that Atlanta has not been willing to budge on this. They haven't shown a lot of interest in trading Cousins. It would take a hefty price tag for another team to wiggle that out. As one source told me, if they were willing to take a small percentage, like let's say $7 or $8 million of that money, a deal would be done by now. There was interest earlier in the offseason. Right now, Pittsburgh might be the only hope for Cousins, or he's sort of stuck in Atlanta.
That was yesterday. Fowler suggesting that the Steelers' backup plan could be Kirk Cousins. And we are starting to see more and more people come out and talk about that. Every show on FS1 today has talked about it. In fact, the show that is on right now with Joy and Paul Pierce and Keyshawn Johnson, right now they are talking about it. Should the Steelers move on from Aaron Rodgers and pursue Cousins? Because he is at least on their radar. But moving on, pivoting here and going to Kirk Cousins, that would require a trade with the Falcons. and the Steelers would be likely handed quite the receipt to pay for the soon-to-be 37-year-old. Throughout his career, I've been a bigger Cousins fan than most have, but this plan sucks. In fact, you know what it tells me? It tells me that the Steelers right now don't actually have a plan. They are just continuing to shuffle the deck of football cards, because on the back of Kirk Cousins' football card, it's a pretty good look at his career numbers. A handful of 30-plus touchdown seasons, several 4,000-plus yard seasons, nearly 5K in 2016. Yeah, I know it was almost a decade ago. Completion percentage of about 67% for his career. A few times he either led or has been close to the league lead. You like that? I would if it was 5 or 10 years ago. Cousins is coming off by far his worst season, in which he was benched before the season's end for Michael Penix, on a team, by the way, that very much had a chance to make the playoffs. Cousins started 14 games. He was 7-7. He was benched. They got to 7-7 not because of him. In spite of him, they got to 7-7. He threw 16 picks, which led the league, in 14 games and only 18 touchdown passes. Again, he's had several seasons where he's had 30-plus touchdowns. He was a three-time Pro Bowler in his 6 years in Minnesota. He was pretty horrid against the Steelers in Week 1 last season, coming off an Achilles injury. Not to mention, the man has one playoff win in 13 seasons. One playoff win. I get that the first couple of years for him, he wasn't the starter. He was behind RG3 when they were both drafted in that 2012 class in Washington. But still, he has been a starter for more than a decade of his career. He has one playoff win. It came in the wild card round in New Orleans years ago. His agent belongs in the Hall of Fame, because even though Cousins has been good, he fails when it matters, but he still ends up with a massive, massive paycheck at the end of the day. Which brings us to our next issue, the money. If the decaying performance on the field and the injury history isn't enough to keep you away, the price tag will be. Cousins is owed $37.5 million in guarantees. And as you heard Jeremy Fowler say, the Falcons don't want to be left on the hook, say, the way the Broncos were for Russell Wilson. The Falcons want another team to pay at least part of that, a good chunk of that, as Fowler alluded to. He said the Falcons don't want to absorb much, if any, of that money. Now, that would be pretty staggering if a team actually said, yeah, we will pay all of it. Please give us Kirk Cousins. It would require a team to facilitate a trade at the same time giving up some sort of draft capital or some sort of asset, and then paying at least a chunk of that $37.5 million. Can we please just push this idea completely off the table? This is 10 times, 100 times worse than what the plan currently is surrounding Aaron Rodgers. I would rather have Skylar Thompson play with his left hand all season than pay Kirk Cousins a lot of money and trade assets to the Atlanta Falcons to have this guy be the quarterback in 2025. Maybe 2015, maybe 2020, absolutely 2020. He had some very good years up until a few years ago. But this would be a brutal idea. And I'm not sure if Aaron Rodgers will play for as cheap as he claims, but I can almost bet it will be cheaper than the price for Cousins. And you don't have to trade for the guy. The Cousins idea sounds like a disaster. A disaster. It would be one of the dumbest moves in Steelers franchise history. How could anybody in the front office look at everything involved with it and actually give it the green light? That's why I don't think this is really on the table for them, fortunately. I'm not in that room. I'm not in their heads. But for what it's worth, I do not see this happening. I think this could just simply be a leverage play by the Steelers. This could be another way for them to try push and nudge Aaron Rodgers a little bit into making a decision, as if they have some sort of backup plan in Kirk Cousins. But Aaron Rodgers is not a dumb guy. He can't possibly think the Steelers would really do this, right? I certainly don't. 37-year-old Kirk Cousins with the Steelers, that would be ugly. But not ugly enough to put the Steelers in prime draft positioning, because make no mistake, if this would actually happen, the Steelers would try to convince themselves and us that Cousins is a missing piece of sorts. And they would absolutely find a way to 8 or 9, likely 9, wins in 25. A guy that has one career playoff win. Why not just let Mason Rudolph take the reins at that point? Who, by the way, we will hear from later on. He spoke to the media as the starting quarterback currently with this team. But if the Rodgers thing falls through, why not just let Mason be the man going forward? There are plenty of people who want that to happen right now, myself included. Not that I think Mason Rudolph is the answer. I just think it better suits the Steelers for their future. If the Rodgers thing falls through, since we all assume it'll happen, if it would actually not take place, why not just say, okay, you know, we do have to virtually punt on the season. We can still be competitive in games with Mason, but it should be Rodgers or bust for them, really. If they don't get Rodgers, they should just go with what they have. I mean, how much better right now is Kirk Cousins than Mason Rudolph right now, at this very moment? I can acknowledge that Aaron Rodgers is a better QB, but I don't know if I can say that Kirk Cousins is definitively better right at this minute than what Mason Rudolph would be. Cousins' game has dropped off greatly. So I'm not really sold on Kirk Cousins being that much better than Mason Rudolph. But maybe you're convinced. Maybe you think this is actually a good plan B for the Steelers. 412-928-9370. If things fall through with Aaron Rodgers, you on board with this as plan B? Kirk Cousins paying a chunk of $37.5 million? Making a trade with the Atlanta Falcons, 412-928-9370. Who should be the plan B if it is not Aaron Rodgers? 412-928-9370. Does it feel like to anybody else that the Steelers really don't have a plan? 412-928-9370. 9370. I would love to line up some calls on this. And yes, it is a discussion about the Steelers quarterback situation. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN suggesting that Kirk Cousins could be a plan B for Pittsburgh if the Aaron Rodgers thing does not happen. I hope he's wrong. 412-928-9370. You can also hit us up on the fan text line. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Your calls up next. Donnie Chedrick with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fan Twitter, that's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. You can follow us there at 93.7 The Fan. You can follow me at DonChed54. Donnie Chedrick with you tonight until 8:45, leading you into Pirates pregame coverage, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel, Buccos, and Diamondbacks tonight. Corbin Burnes throws for Arizona. Mike Burrows throws for Pittsburgh, his second career start tonight in Major League Baseball. There was a debut for the Pirates last night. We will get into that and plenty more later on. Dan Zangrilli will join us around 8:25 to discuss the current state of the Buccos. But taking your calls right now on the idea of Kirk Cousins and just what is going on at quarterback for the Steelers. Does this team have any sort of plan? 412-928-9370. We start with Ronnie in Johnstown. What's going on, Ronnie?
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I don't really care if Rodgers shows up or not. I actually have some faith in Mason. He did save Christmas. Okay, everybody knows that. That's the blah, blah. But, you know, look at Bradshaw's first 4 years. There was nothing stellar there. Nobody knew at that time, you know, that he would do the things that he did. So, you know, we know Mason. You know, I don't go back to it. He did save Christmas. And he has that crazy mustache like he's from the alternative universe. And he'll come back and the alternative universe guy. But I want to segue into something else, if you'll let me, Donnie.
Okay.
I was in Lansing, Michigan for a long time, and I saw in person in Michigan Kirk Cousins' college career. And he could be fantastic. He could actually scorch his enemies. But at the end of the day, he would break your heart. And that happened again. And it happened in Washington. And then it happened in Minnesota. And we really want to import that. You know, I think I could roll with Mason.
Yeah, Ronnie, I saw somebody on the text line, and thank you for the call, who said, oh, one playoff win in 13 years. Kirk Cousins and Mike Tomlin are made for each other. And I thought that was a clever line. Because the Steelers, if this were actually to happen, not that I think it will, the Steelers, who have not won a playoff game since the 2016 season, would be calling upon a guy who has just one playoff win in a baker's dozen set of years in the NFL, which would be very ironic at this point. And isn't it kind of funny that the quarterback that they are courting the most and then the guy that they are looking at as an apparent plan B, they faced both of them last season and both quarterbacks looked very bad in the head-to-head matchups. Aaron Rodgers had a nice first half, but then he had the bad interception to Beanie Bishop right before halftime, which completely turned the tide. That was one of the bigger plays, more impactful plays of the entire Steelers season when you look back on it, because there was a chance that game could have gotten away from them. Bishop picks off Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers score a quick touchdown, and then they're kind of off to the races. Rodgers was awful in the second half, and the Steelers won the game going away. And we know, based on what we've seen and how we have experienced Steelers football, they don't blow people out. And then in week one last year, they take on Kirk Cousins, who was coming off an Achilles injury. He didn't do much in the preseason leading up, and he sucked in that game. So I know you can't just pinpoint those two games, but I don't know. That's at least something that, if I'm a player, that would stick with me a little bit. 412-928-9370. Tom is in Greensburg. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, Donnie, it's a great day to be a Golden Lion.
Yes, sir. What do you got for me?
So rather invest money in these quarterbacks, why don't they keep Mason and try and shore up the receiving corps? You know, there are some big names. Big talent, big name guys out there, and that $10 million, $12, $15, whatever it's going to be, that could really be used. You know, I was so excited about having, you know, like two number ones or a one and a two, and now we're back down to one and a bunch of threes and fours.
What receivers out there do you have in mind?
Well, I think, not just he's locals guy, I think Boyd, you know, because he makes all the catches over the middle and everything. Him, or I really like Stephon Diggs is out there. I don't know what he would go for at this a juncture. Or even Keenan Allen or Godwin.
Tom, I appreciate the call. Just a small correction there. Stephon Diggs, he is now with the New England Patriots, but he was out on the open market for a little bit into free agency. You just may have forgotten that he did sign with New England. But those other names are out there that you brought up. Although he may have said Godwin there at the end. He is not out there. He's in Tampa Bay. He went back to be with the Buccaneers. But Keenan Allen is out there. Tyler Boyd is out there. Amari Cooper is a name out there. Cooper I'm worried about because he got plastered on the side of a milk carton once he got sent to Buffalo in the middle of last season. They, like, didn't use him. And he's always been a really good possession receiver. I've always thought highly of Cooper's game, but apparently Josh Allen and the Bills didn't. Keenan Allen has continued to produce over the years, and now that Chicago is somewhat loading up at receiver with younger guys, they have pushed him out. Now, he's 33 years old. He's been in the league for a dozen years, so he's been around the block and then some, which could have you holding some reservations there. But Allen or Cooper would be my top two names to go after without question. 412-928-9370. Derek is next. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Donnie, how's it going?
Good. What do you got?
With the Cousins trade, the only way I would do that is if it's like a hockey trade where they lump in a first and a second to get them just off the books. I mean, and even then, I wouldn't have him be the starter. I'd have him sit behind Mason or at least fight for the starting job, because in that case, you don't think you're going to win with them. There's not a chance they can think that. I'd at least try to get some draft capital to suck up and make a push for next year even more, or the year after, get some extra ones.
So you're saying have Atlanta throw like a one or two,
yeah,
in that deal?
Yeah, they would have to for $35 million off their books for that guy. I mean, there's no way that any logical GM would do it, which kind of makes sense for the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the call, Derek. I have a hard time seeing that they would throw in a one or two Atlanta and give it to Pittsburgh. I just don't think a deal would ever be able to happen if a couple of things were on the table. Like, I do not think Atlanta will find a team that can take a large portion of that contract. I really don't know who out there would do it. That's why I think there are some dots being connected between Cousins and the Steelers. Atlanta can ultimately hold on to him, so they, unless they really love the deal, unless a team comes to them and says, yeah, we'll take on the whole thing, I don't think they're going to make that deal happen unless the other team truly makes it worth it. Whereas if they don't, if another team doesn't take on that whole contract, there's going to have to be some assets going back to Atlanta in that deal. In your reference to hockey trade there, I like the idea. We just don't see those types of trades happen a whole lot in the NFL, and pretty much never in the NFL. 412-928-9370. Bert is up next. What's going on, Bert?
Hey, Donnie. I'm kind of like with your previous caller, although not quite the same. I mean, anyway, they should get Cousins. He should just be a backup because then he's more washed up than Rodgers. And if they can get him cheaply, like, you know, for $10 million or less, then I don't have a problem, especially if Rodgers, you know, craps out and doesn't care to play anymore. So I think that would be the deal. I wouldn't have a problem if they got him as like a solid backup.
Yeah, Bert, it would have to be a pretty low price tag for me to entertain the Cousins idea. I don't know what they would put on paper to make that appealing, but similar to what Derek said in the last call, it just seems like right now Atlanta is able to have a little bit more control because they can afford to keep Kirk Cousins as a backup due to the fact that Michael Penix is on a rookie deal. So they could go into the season having a very expensive backup QB who, in a pinch, can absolutely come in and win you some games. But it's to the point where Atlanta has that control because a team really has to convince them to make the deal. And I think unless a good chunk of that guaranteed money is paid from the other team, I don't know if they find a dance partner. A text here, why don't they just let Rudolph and Howard fight it out for the starter position? I wouldn't be upset with that because I've made it clear the way that I want to see the Steelers go forward in 2025. We've heard so much about the 26 draft, all the draft picks they will have, the capital they'll have. You know, even if they finish middle of the pack, they're going to have that capital to move up and make the splash and draft their next QB. So if you go into this season not having a good quarterback situation, that betters the chances for you to be in good position to not require a trade up. You know, maybe you're bad enough to where you're picking in the top 10 or top 12, and in a stocked quarterback class, you don't have to jump up, or maybe you only have to jump up a few picks and you can make that selection. But if they do the same old, and they have a draft pick between 18 and 22, they're going to have to make a move if they want a quarterback to be selected. And people will have the rebuttal of, well, you're wasting another year of Cam Hayward and wasting another year of TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick. Listen, I don't think Aaron Rodgers walking through that door wins this team a Super Bowl. I don't think Kirk Cousins walking through that door wins this team a Super Bowl or even close to it. So isn't that technically a waste? Anyway, because I'm not sure either of those guys win them a playoff game. If we're talking, yeah, you know, you put Aaron Rodgers on this team and they're going to the AFC Championship, that changes the calculus for me, but I don't think that's anywhere close to a guarantee. I think it's more likely they miss the playoffs altogether than make a run in the postseason. 412-928-9370. Chuck is in Blairsville. What's up, Chuck?
How you doing? Just a quick note on here. Every time I hear Aaron Rodgers on your station, I just want to turn the channel. I'm really tired of hearing about him. If he wanted to sign already, he would have signed. So quit playing games, Aaron. If I were Tomlin, I would take care of the individuals who are signed. So So, Aaron Rodgers, have yourself a nice retirement because nobody else wants you. And the Steelers signing Rodgers or Cousins, it sounded like the Pirates signing reclamation projects. It's not going to work.
Chuck, I appreciate the call. And this blame goes fully on the organization. Maybe the first week or so, the first couple of weeks, you thought, okay, Aaron Rodgers, he's just being Aaron Rodgers. This guy's starting to annoy me. You know, make up your decision. But at this point, we have been long past last call at the bar, and the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers are sitting there, and there are not very many options, if any, still out there. And we are 2+ months into this thing. We're 2.5 months into free agency. The Steelers are letting this happen. So if you have any blame for any party here, I have long been past blaming the player, because Aaron Rodgers is able to decide what he wants to do here. He's not under contract. He is under no responsibility to play in 2025. The Steelers are the team that have the control from the side of telling Aaron Rodgers to get lost if they want to. 50-minute mark on the Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township. Coming up, more of your calls on the Aaron Rodgers situation and maybe an idea for something that we have coming up in a couple of weeks. Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette, he will join us just past 7 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Rain and temps in the 60s tonight and Wednesday. Not quite the unofficial start of summer we were hoping for weather-wise. It was a chilly weekend. It is chilly as we begin this week, but I do believe it'll reach 80, or it should, near the end of this weekend or early next week. So let's hope that we get to that summer weather sooner rather than later. 412-928-9370. Still taking your calls on the latest layer on the Steelers quarterback situation. Could Kirk Cousins actually be on the table for this team for 2025? 412-928-9370. Eddie is in the South Hills. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, Donnie. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple things on my mind right now. Why would Aaron Rodgers want to come to our team? I mean, we really don't have, you know, like a superior offense. He was with the Jets last year. I thought their offense was good. I thought it was better than ours. You know, but our defense was better than theirs. But there's, I don't know why he would even want to come here. And I personally think the Steelers kind of gave up. I think they just let it. They kept it open. If he comes, he comes. But they probably gave him a deadline. And if he doesn't, they're just going to go. They're just going to roll with Mason and Will and just see who can win it. You know, because I don't think the quarterback has a huge role anyway. It's not like we're going to pass the ball 45, 50 times a game. We're going to be doing a lot of dink and dunk and running the ball and throwing to the tight end. So, I mean, I think Mason and Will Howard, they can just battle it out.
Honestly, Eddie, and I appreciate the call, I think it is a lot with ego to answer your main question there of why would Aaron Rodgers want to come here? Because ultimately, I agree. This is not exactly a paradise for quarterbacks, and it should show the revolving door this team has had since the Ben Roethlisberger retirement, that they cannot figure it out at the game's most important position. But I do think it's Aaron Rodgers' ego that keeps him coming back, or at least has him in the mindset of, I could go to Pittsburgh, a historic NFL franchise, And I want to prove to everybody, I want to prove to the Jets, and I want to prove to all of the NFL that it was their fault, not mine. So if I could go to Pittsburgh where, yeah, you may not thrive numbers-wise as a quarterback, but you would be playing for a coach that has never finished below 500. Hey, I could win 10 or 11 games here, get this team to the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game. He would be proving to the Jets, he would be proving to others around the NFL that, yeah, it was their fault. I still had a little bit in my tank. 412-928-9370. Nash is up next. What's up, Nash?
Donnie Football, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
Hey. Listen, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the best quarterback that we have here anytime soon. I think people are downplaying that. I know he's old, but listen, older quarterbacks have done things with other teams. You got Brett Favre in Minnesota. You have Peyton Manning in Denver. You know, you're not going to get some rookie that's going to come in with his pedigree and do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The things that he's...
Fan Hotline, that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan tonight until 8:45, leading you into the North Shore Tavern leadoff show with Dan Zangrilli. Dan will join us next hour to help preview the Pirates and Diamondbacks tonight in Arizona. Mike Burrow's making his second career start for Pittsburgh. There was also a debut last night for the Buccos that we will get into. But right now, we are joined on that hotline by Steelers reporter Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette. And Brian, before we get into any OTA talk, it was the first day of OTAs in the South Side. How about Terry Bradshaw a couple of hours ago going at Aaron Rodgers? Man, it doesn't look like old TB12 is going to let him wear that Pittsburgh 12 if he does end up here.
No, I don't think so. I did for a second think about trying to talk to Corliss Waitman today and see if there's been any back channeling for the number 8, but didn't get around to talking to him after OTAs. Yeah, Terry, just going right for the throat. I looked it up. I think they've got some history. I think this is not the first time the blonde bomber has not been a fan of Aaron Rodgers in his antics, but telling him to go chew on bark just reminded me of like Rocky Blyer's classic, the Steelers suck rant.
Yeah. I think he might also need to get in contact, Rodgers, that is, with Tommy Maddox and Kenny Pickett. If he wants to wear the number 8, there's going to be some battles in town. Over
Melvin Ingram, didn't he wear 8 for a hot second there?
Oh, well, good pull there. Yeah, some legendary number 8.
That backfired. They let Melvin Ingram basically be the first veteran or first player to take advantage of those relaxed number roles in what was that, 2021 maybe? And
yes.
The preferential treatment, it did not satiate Mr. Ingram. It only made him hungrier for a bigger role.
I think Tommy Gunn is the best Steeler to wear that number, and I don't think it's particularly close.
Yeah, I would have to research that, but I mean, I think you usually get him on the short list of top 5 Steelers QBs of all time. He's usually duking it out for one of those last spots. So, yeah, considering for a long time only specialists and QBs could wear it, I think he's got a pretty good claim.
So Aaron Rodgers obviously not there the first day of organized team activities because he has not signed with the team. At what point, Brian, for you, do you think this starts to ring some alarm bells of, hey, you know, this guy has to be here in order to have any success this season?
I mean, I think for me, the alarm bells are already ringing. I think it's already a sideshow for this team. I mean, these guys, I imagine, are kind of like us a little bit in what we do for a living, Donnie, and that they probably get questions constantly from family and friends about, are you guys signing him? What are the Steelers doing at quarterback? Is Rodgers going to be the guy? That would get annoying to them, I imagine. And then today, you know, you have us actual reporters there kind of asking, you know, taking the same line of questioning. So I think it's already sort of set up, fairly or unfairly, this dynamic or this perception that one guy is above the team and bigger than the team, which sometimes I think that's the case, but not for him in his current state and not for him in a franchise that he's never been a part of. As far as an X's and O's on the field standpoint, I think this time, I think Cam Hayward said it pretty well today. I mean, he was diplomatic, but he's basically like, yeah, this time can help, but he wasn't there the last couple of years and he was fine. I'm sure there were a lot of past Steelers seasons. Ben wasn't there and they were humming. So maybe you can stretch it and say a veteran QB who's been there, done that, won't be needed until training camp. But again, that's really stretching it.
But does it make a difference when it is a guy coming to a new team? Like, yeah, he is a veteran quarterback. He's a future Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's never played for the Pittsburgh Steelers before.
Yeah, Donnie, I think it does make a difference. I think there are levels to it. I mean, it'd be one thing if he was a second-year guy coming back, like Kenny Pickett in 2023. Absolutely, you would want him there. But even in this case, he's a future Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winner, four-time MVP, but he's never done any of that for the Steelers. So, yeah, I absolutely think it's more significant that he should be here for this, but for whatever reason, I guess he doesn't think he owes that to this team.
Mason Rudolph was there, and he took the reps, and he talked to the media as if he is QB1, because right now he is. But how do you think he came across during the first organized team activity?
I think he came across pretty well. I mean, he's gotten used to dealing with these tough questions, Donnie. I mean, he's seen both sides of it now. He's been the guy that fans are clamoring for him to get benched for Duck Hodges. And fast forward, 3 years in his professional career, and he was the guy that a couple years ago fans were clamoring for him to replace Mitch Trubisky. Now, all of a sudden, I'd say his Q rating is as high as it's ever been. Popularity's back for Mason. I don't know about you, but when I just talk to random people, friends, people who know what I do, they're like, you know what, why don't we just roll with Mason, as in the Steelers? And I'm like, I get that a lot. So all that being said, he still understands that this nominal starting role or default starting role, whatever you want to call it, would be gone as soon as Rodgers shows up, assuming that happens.
Brian, have you ever seen the movie The Replacements?
That's one of my favorite movies, Donnie. I feel like I will pick up whatever reference you put down on that one.
So, I mean, this really is starting to feel like the Eddie Martell, Shane Falco dynamic. Like, we are going to eventually get Aaron Rodgers here. He is going to piss a lot of people off. He is going to do things where he thinks he's in the right, even though he didn't do any sort of prep work the entire offseason. And Mason has like that Keanu Reeves role of beloved backup. And I honestly think we're going to get to a point during the season where we start to get those chance for Mason Rudolph. I do.
All the way down to the playing style, I think Mason's pocket presence is, you know, maybe not one of his strong suits. I don't know that we've ever called him footsteps Rudolph, but rear view Rudolph. I don't know, but yeah, I could see it. I could see it, especially, well, I mean, Mason's got the mustache working now. I assume Keanu Reeves has had that at some point in his career. We know he's had the goatee, but Mason has ditched the goatee. I'm not necessarily going to look that far ahead, Donnie, because, I mean, we're just trying to see if Rodgers shows up, and if so, when. But yes, I would acknowledge, and I think you're making a very good point, that he's already going to be walking into a situation that is much different than anything he's experienced. I think Jets fans were happy to have him a couple years ago We know Packers fans were elated to have him as their franchise guy for a really long time. But this would be coming into a new city and a new fan base that, sure, a lot of people who are kind of bagging on him now will start singing his praises if he's wearing the black and gold. But no, I think there are also a lot of people who they've already made up their minds on Aaron Rodgers. They aren't real interested in him being the Steelers quarterback. And how will he deal with that? I don't know. Maybe at this point in his life, he's Teflon. It'll roll right off of him. But I'm with you, Donnie. It does kind of make for a strange dynamic. And then you didn't even mention you got the fresh-faced Will Howard, who might have more hype than both of those guys, rightly or wrongly. Probably wrongly.
Yeah, I mean, I also can't even like blame Howard. I almost feel bad by the hype he's getting. Yeah. I mean, the guy was picked in round six. We really have to temper the expectations here. I know he played for one of the best programs in the country, and he won a national championship. But I mean, come on, people. But either way, you know, how did he look in his first little glimpse?
You know, he's new to it for sure, and it's kind of funny how quickly the script flips for these guys. Rookie minicamp, all eyes are on Will Howard. OTAs, he fades into the background, right? As do most of the rookies. I mean, even Derek Harmon, he wasn't so much a storyline. I don't think us media types were trying to track him down today. Same with Caleb Johnson. I mean, they those draft picks, they kind of get to be the big dogs that first weekend that they report for essentially orientation. And then when all the vets show up, it's like, okay, now you're looking around and you're like, this is the real thing. These are NFL dudes around me, and this is what I have to adjust to.
What is the ceiling with Aaron Rodgers at QB?
Cool. You know, I know there's been a lot of Kirk Cousins chatter today. I don't know if there even should be, but when you're in this quarterback desert, it's kind of just a natural thing. And he didn't report to Flowery Branch today with the Falcons. Love that facility dateline there in Atlanta. But I just think as much as Cousins would be less of a potential distraction and headache and, you know, inherent drama and all that, I think he doesn't have as much left in him as Rodgers does. So to me, there is sort of a threshold for which you can even start contemplating how much you want to deal with the off the field component of it all. As far as Rodgers goes, if he's got more juice left in the tank, if you get the good Rodgers that you saw at times last season with the Jets, and he can still swing it, he's still got a good arm, he can still make all the throws, and the mobility I feel like is, you know, it's there sparingly, sort of like a video game character. He's got the stamina bar at the bottom. Sometimes you probably have to wait for it to charge back up again before you can hold X down. But ceiling, maybe if everything breaks right, I could see 12 wins. But, you know, I think it's just more likely that you'd be looking at another 10 win season. That's probably what I would predict if he enters the fold here.
Do they win a playoff game?
No, I still don't think this is the solution to that or the answer to do that. Maybe it's the closest thing to it. But again, I just come back to the likelihood of that. Is it enough that you're willing to take on everything else that has come with this protracted pursuit now that is kind of made for, I think, some pretty bad optics for this team nationally and, of course, locally?
Who's going to be the second receiver? Is it going to be Robert Woods?
I don't know if they're going to have a pure second receiver. I got a kick out of chatting with Robert Woods today. Kind of dawned on me just how long he's been around. I'm trying to talk to him about some of the teams he's been on, and I'm messing up where he was last year between Tennessee and Houston. And then he was, you know, I sort of asked him, like, are there any familiar faces to you here, Mason? And he's like, oh, no, I didn't play with Mason. I'm like, oh, my bad. And then he's like, well, there is 24. What's my guy 24's name? I want to say Ike, but I know it's not Ike. I'm like, yeah, Joey Porter Jr., who is in Ike Taylor's old
jersey.
Good
Lord, he's talking about Ike Taylor. I mean, that I think that should tell you all you need to know.
I know, and then I looked it up, and I was like, man, Robert Woods really did enter the league in 2013. That's hard to believe, and Ike was still playing, obviously, at that time. So I mean, he'll be a pro in the room, and maybe he'll rub off on those guys in a good way sort of like Allen Robinson a couple years ago, but I don't think you'd be getting much more production than you got out of Allen Robinson a couple years ago, which if you recall, Donnie, I mean, it was pretty much like if it's third and two, you're happy if he runs a 3 yard out, catches the ball and falls down to move the chain. So I think that's sort of where they're at with Woods. Best case scenario, of course, would be Roman Wilson grabbing the bull by the horns there. But I just think it's more likely it's going to be kind of a committee approach. And you just hope the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
I hated your answer there, Brian, and I mean, and it's nothing against you, because I think that's just how this team is giving you the feel. It just tells me it's going to be 2024. Okay, so we replaced George Pickens with DK Metcalf. You might have a positive there in the one for one, but you're doing the same exact thing you just did.
And it's early. I mean, I remember singing Van Jefferson's praises in training camp, and that went the other way. He was not nearly as efficient or dynamic as we thought we were seeing on the field of Latrobe once the real games began. But I'm pretty much with you, Donnie, and no offense taken. It's not me making the moves. I love the trade for DK Metcalf. I thought that was a wise and sensible big swing for the near term and the long term. But if I were to, you know, criticize some of Omar Khan's maneuvering here, I would just say, I think with the likes of Robert Woods, Van Jefferson, Allen Robinson, they haven't really found that sweet spot between, okay, do you have two number ones that it's going to be hard to keep them both happy, or do you have one number one and a bunch of number four guys? It just seems like it's been tough for them to find that, thread that needle, essentially.
And what kind of expectation is it even fair to have for Roman Wilson?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, he talked today, and you know, I feel like I can already kind of tell that it's going to be a long, 4 months for him, because he's going to be 3 months. He's going to be answering a lot of the same questions about how do you feel? Are you ready to contribute? Are you up to speed? For him, I think he just wants to turn the page, get to year two. He knows his rookie year was disappointing, and in some part, you know, through no fault of his own, he got hurt. What are you going to do? The only way he can change that narrative about himself, though, is go out there and make plays, so, and get people asking and talking to you about that. So whether he does that in OTAs or whether he really shines when fans are in the stands at St. Vincent, that clearly would be the best thing for him, not just on the field, but for everybody on the outside wondering about what he's going to bring to the table.
Talking to Brian Batko, he covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Is the offensive line finally looking the way it should? Broderick Jones at left tackle, Troy Fautanu at right, and then we already know the three guys in the middle.
Yeah, they finally got all those pieces in place and on the same page, where they're supposed to be, where they were acquired to be. That doesn't mean it's going to work. I think there's still plenty of development that needs to take place for really, you know, four of those guys. I feel like Zach Frazier he's pretty much already settled in. So it's really those other three, and especially we know the tackles, both of whom are going to be in new spots this year because Broderick Jones is moving from right to left and Troy Fautanu really didn't play at all. So I do still think you're flying blind a little bit with what you can reasonably anticipate from those two. But you also, if you're the Steelers, need to trust all the time and resources you put into evaluating those guys, and now hope that Pat Meyer can coach them up, and they're going to round into that unit you believe they can be.
At what point does T.J. Watt sign his new contract, and what does the number look like?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, you know, him, the last time he was in this, it was really close to week one. It was bumping right up against week one, and he was fine. That was the year he turned in the DPOY season for himself. Minka, they got done in June. I feel like they wanted to avoid some of the training camp leverage plays with him. I don't know. TJ, I'll say close to training camp. How about that? I'll say there's still going to be some give and take on both sides that needs to happen. But I wouldn't be surprised if it gets done in the in-between. It's difficult when you have these high-stakes negotiations. And still, a guy that I think is commanding around $40 million a year, and we'll ultimately get that from this team.
It doesn't sound like you're super confident that it happens before we get to Latrobe, though?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. I don't want to sit here and say it's imminent, and then, you know, Donnie, you'll tweet out my quote that it's imminent, and everybody will be like, you know, dunking on me if he doesn't sign by the start of minicamp. I don't have a great feel for, like, how far apart they are. And sometimes we saw, I remember the Deontay Johnson year when he got his extension, it seemed like they were really far apart. The next thing you knew, a few days later, they ink it up and he's on the field at training camp. So I just think this is one where both sides have already been through this. They've been through it together. They kind of know that it could get uglier before it gets better. And I'm just not sure what that timeline is going to look like.
Do you think there's actually any chance that it wouldn't happen?
I'm not going to speak in absolutes and say no, but I would be very surprised if he enters this season on that same deal. I mean, I think there's always a compromise to be had for a player like that. And I think the Steelers value him and everything he brings. They want him to finish his career in a Steelers jersey. So I do think it'll get done.
Brian Batko, check out his stuff. Reports for the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Brian, thanks for taking the time, my man.
Thanks, Donnie. Thanks for bringing up the replacements. That made my night.
Good. Happy to hear it. There we go. Brian Batko from the PG. Joel, I know that there's a near guarantee you have not seen the replacements, but a good football movie. Keanu Reeves. You have Jon Favreau in there. You don't know who Jon Favreau is, I'm sure, but you probably know who Keanu Reeves is.
Yes, I have heard of. I probably couldn't put name to face, but yes, I've heard of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, he's been in John Wick, all those John Wick movies, Speed. That's an underrated action movie from the 90s. I think you'd enjoy the movie. 412-928-9370. If you want to join the conversation, you can also hit us on the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We have Joel's pick coming up at the end of the hour, but coming up next, we will hear from a couple of Steelers that met with the media earlier today, the first day of OTAs. That is next on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Fan weather, that is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Should be perfect in Arizona. Very hot outside. I think it was in the upper 90s today, just another day in the desert. But it will be around 70 indoors at Chase Field, a 9:40 first pitch between the Pirates and Diamondbacks. The lineup is out. We will get into that a little bit later on. By the way, the local weather going to have some rain overnight, temps in the 60s tonight into Wednesday. So not quite hitting that summer stretch yet. Post-Memorial Day, the unofficial start of summer. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan until 8:45. Joel Nelson is with me behind the glass. Every time Joel and I work together, I like to give him some time to cook here. So Joel gets to pick the topic for this segment. Joel, what do you got for us?
Donnie, thank you as always. Joel's pick, May 27 of 2025. Tell you what, man. The Diamondbacks, anytime they wear those, their City Connect jerseys, they're like purple, but even just like the throwback jerseys with like the regular generic white jersey with the stripes, but the shades of purple on the sleeves, are those like just one of the more underrated sports jerseys, not just Major League Baseball, actual like all of sports, any alternate jersey you can think of, those purple, isn't that so underrated?
You're talking like the early 2000s era where like they beat the Yankees in the 0-1 World Series. Yeah, those are slick.
Randy Johnson with the perfect game or whatever.
Yeah, you got Randy Johnson. You had Curt Schilling. Luis Gonzalez had the walk-off. Former Bucco Tony Womack had a huge hit in that Game 7 game as well. They actually had a really good set of unis in that era, because I believe they also had like a black alternate where it was like a purple and blue Diamondbacks across the front, and then I think it was like a teal number on the back, at least the one I'm looking at here. The hat was good. The colors were good. The jerseys were good. just something else that, like, we got into. 2025 Fan 5 Alarm t-shirts are available online. Go to KeystoneCustomApparel.com. Get your commemorative shirt. A portion of the proceeds will benefit local volunteer fire departments. Again, just over a week away from our Fan 5 Alarm Marathon at the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. 26.2 hours of live programming on the fan, all emanating from that location. We'll get into some activities. I know Pony said earlier today he will eat like the hottest potato chip in the world or something like that if people donated a certain amount of money. And Joel, the money was donated within like 90 seconds. So people want to see Pony struggle through eating like a Carolina Reaper potato chip. Are you into hot food? Spicy food?
Yeah, I would say so, somewhat. I don't know about what he's doing, but I would say, you know, if there's a fairly hot chicken wing out there, I might give it a go.
So you are somebody that when you go to a wing place, you will venture on the hotter side of things just to give it a try. Like, will you go to the tippy top if you are unaware of how hot it truly is, or will you go like a couple of rungs below?
Probably not super high. It's not like top priority or anything, unless it's a place where I've been to multiple times and stuff, and I've knocked out all the wings that I want to knock off at that place. I'll try and go for like medium to medium hot, ideally, you know, start with that. But if there's a time where I could try a super hot wing, even just one of them,
yeah,
I'll give it a go. Work here and there, you know. Up.
Yeah, I mean, I did that at a few places when I went around on the little Wing It tour. Some places would bring me out their hottest wing. They would bring out a couple. I would have one. Maybe Ben Tenuto would have one when he was shooting the video. So I have, I don't want to say a fear. The bathroom visit later on that night is certainly not fun when you eat wings that are that hot. I also do sometimes worry that it will just be too hot, that it kind of ruins the experience. So that's where I will just try to have like one or two. I'm not going to be the guy that orders like a dozen of a place's hottest wings. I will go with flavor over heat if it presents itself every single time. Mike Burrows makes his second career start tonight for the Pirates. By the way, if you want to join the conversation, you can do so using the fan text line at 412-928-9370. That is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Burrows in his first start with the Buccos, 5 innings, 4 hits, 4 earned runs, 3 strikeouts, 2 walks. That came against Milwaukee last week. He did give up 2 home runs in that loss. I wouldn't say it was a terrible start by any means. We have seen some truly ugly starts from Pirates pitchers. I mean, think back to the early days of Mitch Keller and what we would see from him time and time again in the early days. Burrows, if he can control the home run ball, I didn't think it was all that bad. Braxton Ashcraft made his debut last night. 3 innings, 2 hits, 0 runs, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. A cool moment with his family in attendance at Chase Field. Hannah Mears did a fine job catching up with them. I saw some of the former Pirates broadcasters chime in on social media as well. Robbie Insmakowski had a nice little Twitter thread about how special those moments were for guys making their debuts. We are seeing some young guys throw for the Buccos now, but the big one remains in the minors. Bubba Chandler is fresh off throwing 6 no-hit innings the other day for Indianapolis. That has people clamoring for the top pitching prospect in all of baseball. But I actually have a weird take on it. I am oddly not bothered that he is not up here. A few reasons. The starting pitching is far from the problem. And at this point, you are nearly 15 games out of first place. I'm not actually worried about them calling up the guy, because what difference does it make at this point? Yeah, the argument's there that you want your best players on the big league roster at any given time. But I'm actually not going to complain if the Pirates manipulate, you know, the years of control they have with Chandler down the road, because why waste that time on what is already looking like a lost season? When the team called up Paul Skeens last year in the middle of May, they were in the fight. And they stayed in the fight until the early days of August. They also had clear holes in the rotation, which made sense for the call-up. What's wrong with their rotation right now that has been so detrimental to the team? Nothing, really. Burrows is starting tonight. You can say that might be a hole, but at the same time, he just came up. They could have opted for a call-up of Chandler instead of Burrows when they sent Carmen Majinski down, but they went with Burrows. And before last night, when Andrew Heaney got the start, the Pirates had four of their starting rotation that ranked within the top 25 in ERA. And this was a stat I saw from the North Shore 9 guys on Twitter. Paul Skeens, 2.36. That was good enough for fourth. Andrew Heaney was 2.91. That was good enough for 13th. Bailey Falter, 3.47, 23rd. And Mitch Keller, 3.52, 25th. They have that from their rotation. And they are 19-36. And they are 14.5 games back in the NL Central. What is calling him up going to change? Unless he can hit. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. You can also hit us up on Twitter. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can find us there at 93.7 The Fan. A few minutes away from Dan Zangrilli. He joins the program in about 3.5 minutes. Dan will help us preview Pirates and Diamondbacks tonight before we get to the North Shore Tavern leadoff show at 8:45. So Dan joins me coming up next on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Fan Hotline, that is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7, The Fan. And on that Fan Hotline is where we find Pirates pre- and post-game host Dan Zangrilli getting set for Pirates and Diamondbacks tonight, a 9:40 first pitch in Arizona. 8:45 is when pregame coverage will begin. Dan, Mike Burrows making his second start tonight for the Buccos. What were your impressions of what he did last week against Milwaukee?
I like the changeup, his ability to throw it right on right. That's something that is something that typically comes a little bit later in somebody's career. They don't usually have that pitch coming through the college ranks or, you know, in the minor leagues, and that's almost always the last pitch that gets developed because people typically have their fastball, they have a breaking ball, and that's most times good enough to get them to where they need to get to. To have a refined changeup is really an unusual thing, and typically it's something that, for a right-handed pitcher, they're going to throw to left-handed batters just to keep them honest, something that's moving away from them in the barrel. But to be able to throw that to both left-handed and right-handed hitters is a unique thing. So that really jumped out at me in the early going. I think the line could have been a lot better for Burrows. He gives up a wall-scraping homer to Christian Yelich, a three-run shot in that first inning. And the ball, for whatever reason, typically doesn't carry well to left field. This was kind of stuck and snuck right in that left field corner where you can get a cheap home run if there is one to give at PNC Park, and that was three runs right off the bat. So you could be looking at five innings, two runs. We're probably feeling a little differently about Mike Burrows in that first major league start. So those were the biggest takeaways I had from his first outing.
I was going to say that cheapy home run, and then he gave up another home run as well. It seems like if he stays away from that in what is a bigger ballpark tonight in Arizona, if he stays away from that and he replicates everything else, he's going to put these guys in position to win the game.
You would think, and I don't know if he needs to come up here and be, you know, lights out, but I think they're looking for some length, five innings, six innings, be able to turn that lineup over. Carmen Majinski, you know, when he was starting, you know, rare were the opportunities for him to get you through five innings. You knew it was going to be a lot of taxation on your bullpen. I think the Pirates are really in the throes of their schedule right now as far as number of games that are sort of condensed here. They don't have a ton of off days. You know, in what I guess the middle part of the month, they had one off day from May 15th on. They'll have one coming up Thursday and then again on Monday. So there's a little bit of a reprieve. So they needed somebody, I think, with a little more length to be able to get them, you know, through the lineup a couple of times. And listen, Burrows was warranting the look. Majinski was not. His numbers were really good in AAA, and he's got three pitches that he can mix around there. And I guess, you know, now is as good a time as any, especially with this open rotation spot. So with Majinski not performing, Burrows doing good stuff at AAA, I think it made a lot of sense to swap the two.
Do you think there was consideration to move Majinski to the bullpen where he seems to be a much better performer? Or do they really want him to be a starting pitcher?
Well, apparently not. And I thought that would be, Donnie, where Majinski would go. In fact, that's my personal opinion as to where he should be. Majinski has been really adamant about starting, and Ben Sherrington has gone on the record basically saying that Majinski's stubbornness and his insistence on being a starter and constantly reminding the organization that this is something that he wants to do, that he feels that he can do. Okay, the Pirates, I guess, humored him. They gave him every opportunity to do that. He's got a good pitch mix. Now it's just a matter of whether or not he can use it all accordingly and throw enough strikes. But we saw better part of 2 months here that he gave, I think, the Pirates more reason to move on from him as a starter than they would continue down this path. And with some need and turbulence, especially in the back end of the bullpen, because Majinski, going through the lineup the first time, was as good as anybody. It's amazing how he kind of just lived up to the metrics and the binder and the game plan. Once that lineup flips over, the numbers just, there's this hockey stick of offensive production. So what's the harm in putting him in there to be a bulk guy, two-inning guy, or use Majinski as the Pirates used Ashcraft last night in that bulk role, especially with Bednar being a bit of a flip of the coin? Holderman's on the injured list and probably is going to be for quite some time. You're going to need somebody in the back of that bullpen along with Santana to try to lock this thing down to be nails. Now, I was talking to Noah Hiles about this yesterday. You know, the changes that were made at the manager position and the quotes that we read in the two outlets that were granted access to Bob Nutting, that we had to read the transcripts of as opposed to hear from him, and the tone and inflection in the chairman of the board's voice, I think we would have a better understanding of really what the intent is this year for the Pirates. Based on what we read and the actions taken by dismissing the manager, you're thinking, Donnie, that, okay, they're literally going to try to pull themselves out of this thing, and the urgency, and this is a win now mode, which is a bit silly to say for a team that's 6-20 on the road, 14 and a half games out. And I understand that it's been, you know, better part of 3 weeks since they made these moves, but, and things could have changed. But at the time, if you're in such a win now mode, then why would you not make what I would consider a win now decision? And that would be pause the Majinski experiment on becoming a starter, move him to a place where you know he's had success and you could probably project a great deal of success. All of a sudden, your bullpen just becomes that much deeper, and you might even have a strong part of your ball club in a number of ways if Majinski's there. This move is more, I think, in line with something that we would have seen in 2020, 21, maybe even 22, when they were developing and looking at a much bigger picture with a lot longer of a runway, long-term type of move. I don't know, would you agree with that? Because that's what I see this move as, not a, we need to pull out all the stops at this given moment with the 100 or so games that we have left, and we need to win every single one of them to try to have a puncher's chance to make some big improvements in 2025. This move and this experiment runs contradictory to that from where I sit.
Yeah, it kind of feels like they're on a stationary bike of sorts, Dan. Noah was on with the guys earlier, and he gave it a coin flip, a 50-50 chance that Ben Cherington was back in 26. Do you see it that way as things stand right now?
I mean, it's so hard to really figure out what Nutting is thinking. And I, if you remember, Donnie, going back in 2019, you know, they let the general manager at the time, Neil Huntington, begin the managerial search of Clint Hurdle's replacement, only to fire midway through that process of hiring the new manager, the sitting GM. And then, if you recall, Cherington had to come in. They didn't have a manager at the time, so the Pirates had no manager, a GM that began the search. Ironically enough, it was Huntington who had Derek Shelton at the top of his list. They paused that, and then Shelton had to re-interview with, well, now the new general manager and a new baseball operations staff. They eventually hire Shelton, Cherington does. And that was just a very odd sequencing of how it all transpired. They made three different moves, and they cleaned house at the end of 2019. But if you look at the time stamps of those transactions, there was a lot of space in between them. So to sit there and say, well, this is going to happen, or that's why I think Hiles is playing it safe there, not just because he doesn't want to answer the question when he says 50-50. I really do think it's a flip of the coin. Now, what I am also going to think here, I'm just going to fill in some blanks, and this is me just totally throwing something up against the wall here. It is, Cherington has probably pled a case, this is just a philosophy, I have no knowledge of this, but he is so stubborn, Cherington is, in the process, and he absolutely believes everything that they are doing is the right thing. And I wouldn't be shocked if he maybe laid out a case because of the injuries and we're not at 100% and the lineups as we envision them, once they are at full capacity, you give me a sample size with that body of work, the whole ball of wax, and then you decide whether or not you want to let me go. Or if it doesn't work out the way that I think it will, because I'm so confident in this process and what we have laid out, and I'm certain that it's going to work, and if it doesn't and I am wrong, then maybe I'll see myself out the door. That's just a total fictitious scenario, but just trying to put the pieces together as to how Cherington is so stubborn and convicted in what the Pirates are doing, and you hear it in all of his interviews, and I believe we'll be better. I mean, there's this belief. There's really no change of course or deviation in not only the rhetoric but the actions. That adherence to the process, even if it means his own undoing, then he'll probably say, I'll see myself out the door, or once you give me this runway, then you can do with me what you will. I could very much see a scenario like that. But that's, again, me just spitballing here, throwing it up against the wall with no knowledge or sources to anything along those lines.
Pirates pre- and post-game host Dan Zangrilli. You will hear from Dan in about 10 minutes' time. Thanks for hopping on, Dan.
You got it. We'll see you.
There we go. So Dan Zangrilli will take you starting at 8:45. A quick look at the Pirates lineup. O'Neill Cruz will lead off. He is the DH tonight. Brian Reynolds bats second. He's in right field. Spencer Horwitz, the first baseman, hits number three. Joey Bart, the catcher, is behind home plate. Alexander Canario, the center fielder, bats number five. Adam Frazier hits six at second base. Tommy Pham in the lineup again, hitting seventh in left field. Ke'Bryan Hayes bats eighth. He is at third base. And Isaiah Kiner-Falefa rounds out the order. He hits number nine at shortstop. Mike Burrows gets the start for the Pirates. The 25-year-old is 0-1 with a 7.2 ERA. Joel Nelson, I want to thank you for your fine work behind the glass. A thank you to the folks who joined the conversation earlier. A thank you to Dan Zangrilli and not Noah Hiles, he joined the PM team. A thank you to Dan Zangrilli and Brian Batko for joining the program as well. Pirates pregame coming up next, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Then it is Pirates and Diamondbacks tonight. Mike Burrows, Corbin Burns, first pitch at 9:40. But you will hear from Dan Zangrilli in under 10 minutes. Donnie Chedrick signing off on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.